let's look at the camera for this intro, like, you know, real official. So
can I be Fred Blankenship? Remember Fred Blankenship on the Man in News?
Fred Blankenship. great name. Also my guy Stefan Kim fucks with him. He's on the field.
Send the link.
Welcome to Send the Link, where we analyze the latest feeds and reads. I'm Brandon Harrison with my co-captain, co-pilot, and co-host, DJ Deep Dollars. DJ, it's all coming to an end.
The decade as we know it.
Yes, and life.
In life?
Oh, that was extreme. I think so. Well, it's a bit extreme, but I mean, yeah. It's been an extreme time.
Either no one ever really dies or nothing ends, per Dr. Manhattan. I'm not sure if you've been watching Watchmen.
I haven't, but, because I don't.
Okay.
I don't watch.
You don't have HBO.
I don't have time. Yeah, I do have HBO, thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe you can catch it in the next decade. Maybe we'll do another season. But fuck all that. We are quite formal, quite professional.
Oh, I like it. Because where are we today?
We are at Brooklyn Podcasting Studios. I fumbled that a bit.
Brooklyn Podcasting Studio.
Yeah.
Shout out Josh to God.
Shout out to Josh to God, off camera, but he's here. We're professional. We wanted to end the decade appropriately.
Something special for y'all.
For y'all.
The listeners. So,
did we ever come up with like a fan group name?
What?
You tried Linkers or something. I didn't like that shit.
I didn't like it.
I just tried to like transport the Navy onto the
envelopes. I don't know. All right, enough riffing.
Okay.
Enough riffing. Staying on task. Sot. Anyway, I'm Brandon Harrison. I do a lot media related around the world. You know, video, festivals, all that. My co-host is DJ Dallas.
Yeah, I'm a man about town.
He's a man about town. We love
fellow Brooklynite. I'm not as media focused as you, but I do follow media trends. I do follow current
events. And he runs shit on the low, so.
On the low.
He keeps it downplaying.
Yeah, I demure, but, you know, catch me on LinkedIn.
First, this podcast, we always talk about themes. Temas.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're going with?
I mean, if
you know. Espanol?
Si.
Oh, Entiendes. Yo, we're gonna dub the episode.
It's a big part of the decade, dog. You gotta be bilingual.
Oh, for sure. Next decade, shit, jumping forward, you gotta learn that Mandarin.
I hope not.
All right.
I'm not ready, dog. I'm not ready. Okay. All right, so cultural themes. If we could start, DJ, fragmentation, dog.
Fragmentation.
Why are we all broken up? Why are we Lego pieces? Why is it? What happened to us, dog?
At least just coming from my perspective.
Yes.
And these themes that we actually have bulleted out here, they all basically intersect with one another, right? So our fragmentation as a whole is based on each person's individual experience, right? And our main means of interacting with the world at this point is from the internet, social media specifically. And each of the major social media apps are cultivated by a very advanced algorithm that they tinker on the margins. These large companies, your Twitter or Facebooks or Microsofts or Googles or what have you, and to the point where now it stands that no two people will experience the internet in the same way, or their feeds are not the same, because we all follow different people. We all have different interests.
Black Twitter.
Yeah, Black Twitter.
MAGA Twitter. MAGA Twitter is actually kind of lit. You ever visit?
Yeah.
You got to step in.
They on some wrestling shit.
They got some memes over there. You'd be like, what? This is boutique.
Very, very creative. You got to shout out to, you know, all the white guys in the corners of the internet. But nonetheless, it's led to, I think, a lot of diminution of the common conversations that are said to be had,
yeah.
Right? Or at least amongst individuals. That's why you see a lot of noise or hear about the purported set of noise across the internet conversations, whatever is the latest topic of the day, which leads to the emergence of your MAGAs or your cancel cultures, or even on the positive end, your political revolutions, Me Too revolutions.
Positive stuff.
Yeah, because, okay. I mean, the fragmentation and these algorithms have definitely been the biggest double-edged sword that we've seen.
Especially like this whole culture war shit. It's like culture wars. It's like fake news. What side are you on? You're all in silos and all that kind of shit.
Yeah, yeah. And that's where we're reported to be. I feel like I experienced it a bit on my own as well, because I'll go and I'll really dig into or really follow something. Let's say, you know, just being light, like sneakers or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. I just got a brand new pair of Amrex.
Is it divisive?
It's not. Well, it can be divisive. Don't get me wrong. Shit can be divisive. But are we using that? We're using the culture divisive or divisive? You know, I like divisive more.
Divisive. Sorry. Right.
Well, nonetheless.
Topic, you know.
Let's say my brother, who has similar interests to me, won't see any of that shit at all on his feed.
Oh, yeah.
So I can refer to something that he will never have even known. Or let's say some type of wild controversy regarding, you know, these Air Kaepernick sneakers that are about to come out, like the Nike Kaepernick sneakers.
Can we talk about that with one of our other themes, though? This idea of the algorithm?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that was the main theme. For
because
sure.
It's like with the fragmentation and this algorithm, the thing about what your brother sees versus what you see, the ad thing about that, oh, it trips me out because I mess with one Joe Rogan podcast. I listen to one. I read one article. I'm like, you like guns? You like, you need a holster? I was like, damn, like I can't just want to hear what Malcolm Gladwell was lying about this week. I just, why do I need a holster?
Hold on, you're not getting the what's the shit? Alpha brain? Alpha brain.
Like, you know, it's just like, damn, like the way it manipulates itself based upon what you. So the part of it that really freaks me out is that how much we know. Well, the savvy know that you can manipulate it, because you're like, oh, if I just, I could press play on something and leave it on for a night, and then your whole shit will just be.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think, at least reportedly, YouTube has kind of engineered out a lot of the algorithmic bugs that would basically allow just about any video you look at to, it would eventually get to like some type of like conspiracies or.
Momo, remember that?
Yeah. I mean,
kids are watching Momo.
Yeah, right. And then it would just go off the deep end because one thing that we also see is just like a lot of shit just never ends. And it's a kind of, oddly enough, like a paradoxically, an amount of like stasis that we live in when we're always on these services continually swiping up to get the latest. But it is kind of just like feeding the same series of emotions that keep us hooked onto these apps and services in the first place. Continually feeding the algorithm, continually giving more data points for
where you are, where do you go?
Yeah, I mean,
what you purchase, the main thing.
Right.
On the purchase point.
Yeah.
You can never own anything. That's what we learned in 2010s.
Ah, good segue. Good slight seek. That wasn't like a full one, but that was like a nice
shift from
2 to 4. Good.
I hit the get the Nas and shit.
Hey, shout out to Fast and Furious. They closed.
They did their thing.
That franchise up there in the decade.
They almost made it on the list. You know, they got a nice adjacent talk.
Yeah, Vin Diesel with them.
You can't own anything now. It's over.
DRM.
It's all about. Oh wait, what?
DRM. Oh, you can't speak on that.
Give me the acronym, dog.
Digital rights management.
Yeah. Subscriptions, dog.
Yeah.
Everything is Quip. You got Quip? You got Quip toothbrush?
Yo, low key.
That's right in your pocket. Quip.
Damn.
It's got a nice, it looks sleek and shit.
No, it's not that expensive. You see, but I'm part of this demo. We part of the demo. We're millennials. Using the term millennials as a catch-all has slowly become passe over the past, I don't know,
3 weeks?
3 weeks in popular culture, but nonetheless. Yeah, I gotta fucking quit, man.
I knew it.
It's effective. And it's, you know, relatively cheap. I don't have to worry about paying for it. It's out of sight, out of mind. And every 3 months, I get a brand new brush head. And I feel like it's effective. But that's the point that we're saying. Although I do own those two brushes that come in, so the model's a little different. Just the,
gotta be boutique.
You know, slight shaving off of a few dollars from you and every month or every other month or every quarter is this new subscription model that.
Death from a thousand cuts.
Yeah, that has become, you know, like the main means of keeping a user base for most of these, you know, Web 2.0, Web 3.0 services. And you join that with like gig economy. That's where
it's just like, that's where it, yeah, you own nothing. Towards. You can have no service. It's just like, you got to work. You got to work to be a part of the economy. Like, I know it's like a co-op, but you're going to drive Uber or you're going to walk dogs or whatever you're going to do. You have to put in your piece of blood and then, all right, and then you can get a little bread on the back end. But yeah, it's like between Spotify, the fact that the MoviePass is going to work and lift off and subscriptions is like, they're trying to, with MoviePass too, as a sort of encapsulation of this idea. It's like, what ephemeral thing that you didn't think could be captured post the 2000s? Like, oh, damn, music, media, sound. Yeah. That's where most subscription things came from, because the physical, even though Quip is cool, is because it's a nuisance. It's kind of like to buy that.
Yeah.
But most of the ephemera of media is like, oh, we got to make this subscription. So fuck yeah. MoviePass, shout out to them for taking my bread. Can we go into like our main structure of the pod?
Yeah, sure.
All right, dog. Reads, man. Oh, she be reading.
I mean, on the
I'm
on
a perpetrator.
A light load. You be perpetrator. You the person at the cocktail party, like, yeah, I read that.
What?
Sips wine.
What? Mm-hmm. Delicious. What was the joint called?
The water dancer. Yeah.
I picked that up.
Yeah, that was Jessica Alba and the dancer.
Robert Pattinson.
Yeah. She was lit. Oh, no, not that one?
The most important read of the decade. Oh, drum man. Roll. Throwing in. We're going to put it in the post. Drum roll.
This is for all of your like half-woke white friends. Like, yo.
And people that you need the ammo, right? You black, you need the ammo. Yeah. As opposed to I'm mad. The case for reparations. Ta-Nehisi Coates. He had a hot decade.
Yeah.
He had a hot decade off the strength of just being like, yo, like, I don't know, but this is it. Like,
I document Obama, you know? I got takes. I fuck with
you got takes.
Marvel, Black Panther.
You just slid in that somehow. Like, just,
yeah, I fuck with it.
It's all finessing, man. I appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah. The case for reparations. 2014.
Mm.
Many moons ago.
Feels like it.
On the rise of black sort of. Well, not nationalism, but sort of like this black culture movement with BLM and like the mm-hmm. tail end of Obama and people getting shot and all kind of stuff like that. Musically, we're going to be all right, blah, 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 all that.
Mm-hmm.
An article that's like, yo, here it is, all played out for you. And I feel like it's seminal, man, especially with the culture we're living in, struggling with, I mean, our biggest thing in my sort of podcast note of the year that I always say, my phrase, white evil. It breaks it all down. And there's bars of plenty. It shook the culture. People knew about it.
Yeah.
And for the fact, now all of our, I guess, candidates on, you know, blue team have paid lip service in subsets the idea of reparations, man. Because as we've seen, white people are so aggrieved. They're aggrieved. For what? I don't know. And when I say white people,
waning cultural and political power.
Yes, that's,
and economic.
I mean, that's it. You're correct. It hit at the biggest point of this is that we all know America is some bullshit, and the crux of all these arguments against political, helping the poor, of doing any kind of like taxes, all this stuff is based upon the lie that this is all fair, and this notion of fairness and this notion of the Constitution, of this pure document where we have quotes from. He cites a woman who got reparations pre the Constitution. She had been enslaved. Her original, quote unquote, master had died. His son flew off to England, and she wrote to the Massachusetts legislature and said, yo, like, can y'all just give me some bread? Like, I've been a slave for 50 years.
Damn.
And they did. They gave it to her. Over these 300 and some years, it's just been like, nah, we just not going to like.
They gave
out
$4 since then.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. And I'm glad that this is in the national sort of ecosystem. I even read a companion piece today from a libertarian dog.
Oh, shit.
Walter Block. Was like, yo, reparations is like, we need to do it.
For sure.
Off the strength of just like, they lost their bread. We owe them their services and goods.
Hello. Hi, Walter. It's Brandon.
Hey.
How are you doing, man? Thank you for taking the time.
I think both the left and the right are mistaken. The left pretty much says that all whites owe all blacks reparations for slavery, which is nonsense. And the right says no white owes any black anything for slavery, which I think is equally problematic. I think the correct view is the libertarian view, which I and Murray Rothbard and other libertarians espouse, namely, if a black person can prove that his great-grandfather worked on a certain plantation, he should get part of that plantation. Well, the burden of proof is on the person who wants to change property titles. Possession is 9/10 of the law. there's some guy in South Carolina who's got a plantation, and some black guy in Harlem says that his great-grandfather worked there. It's up to the black guy to prove this, and if he can prove it in a court of law, then he should get the money. So the burden of proof is on the plaintiff. If the plaintiff can overcome this, then he is entitled. And we libertarians have no dog in this fight. We don't know, as an empirical issue, how much property will change hands. We just have a principle, and our principle is to return stolen property. And we assume that at the end of slavery, the white guy would have been put in jail for enslaving people. Even though it was legal, we think it was wrong. And what would have happened is if the white guy, the slave master, would put in jail, all of his property would go to the slaves. Well, I don't believe that libertarianism is compatible with the statute of limitations. We shouldn't say, look, once it's 100 years old, then you can't do it. It's true, it's harder to prove if it's 100 years old, or 150 years old in this case, but that's irrelevant. The key is if you can prove it. Look, if I stole your watch yesterday and you can't prove that I stole it, well, then I'm keeping it.
Yeah,
and it's just yesterday. So it doesn't matter. The time is irrelevant. The key is, can you prove it? And if you can prove that I stole your watch yesterday, well, you know, I'm a criminal. I should go to jail and you should get your watch back.
At its, like, on the most stripped down core version, is essentially an actual countrywide accounting for what happened.
Yes.
To actually put some more context and numbers and analysis behind the era of slavery going into Reconstruction, because
that's our favorite period of American history.
Yeah, we got a lot of things coming. We know we're working on Crab Leg Con, this re-ing up on Movie Pass, and also this
Reconstruction,
yeah, era drama.
Screenplay.
It's gonna be lit. It's gonna be based on the South Carolina Black Legislature.
The hope that we had, and the stomping of it by white evil, quote unquote.
Is that the subtitle or whatever?
That's at the bottom. This tagline.
Yeah. I think we're probably like, damn, this might be like too deep for the pod, but this is kind of like the second phase of American like innocence lost by the preponderance of social media and black people on the whole, like reacquainting themselves with.
Because we had hope.
Collectively.
Because we had hope initially from Obama.
Right. Yeah. Oh, shit, it's Obama. Like, oh, he out here being cool. He pointing at people and shit.
Now we got to figure this shit out.
And then it's like, oh, wait, damn. Nah.
But we know now.
Disillusioned.
Right. So that's why we're definitely at loggerheads like nationally amongst like the shitty whites and the woke whites and the whites. And the milquetoast ones, and then us, and all the minorities were all like, okay, so we know that the history is kind of shitty.
Let's just do it.
Like, we fucking American pride. I could wear the USA two-time world champs. You fuck with that shirt? You ever seen
For World War II? Yeah. Point of this article about the whole reparations process with that and Judaism and the Jews and Germany, like that's another leg of this article about things that's happened before. So before we move on to things a little more speculative, I'm gonna just drop some of the bars, my favorite bars.
Oh shit, you got bars.
The essence of American racism is disrespect.
Ooh!
Indeed, in America, there's a strange and powerful belief that if you stab a black person 10 times, the bleeding stops and the healing begins at the moment the assailant drops the knife.
Ow.
From the White House on down, the myth holds that the fatherhood is a great antidote to all ails of black people. But Billy Brooks Jr. had a father, Trayvon Martin had a father, Jordan Davis had a father, and adhering to middle class norms never shielded black people from plunder. Ow.
Bodies.
Shout out to Todd Nisikos. So, obviously, we would kind of gave big love to that, to a great thought out article and piece. But sometimes shit stink.
Oh, man.
It stinks.
What a decade for it.
It stinks. And we got to pay attention to the biggest stink pieces. Stink piece. Stink idea. Stink website.
Just like a very bad take. Bad takes. Strong. Like very bad takes.
Of the past 10 years. And I want to open it up to you about, I guess, Stink Piece Factory, based on bad faith in good math. but created a lot of sort of improprieties in the way that we approach what we would expect the outcomes of things.
Yeah.
And we know we don't have hate for the people who formulated this, but 538, dog.
Mm.
I mean, they failed us.
The comfort blanket gone wrong.
Yeah. Comfort blanket of nerds. And this is also my admonishment of nerds in general, because they had a hot decade, but we found out, as we kind of knew before, nerds suck, dog. they're so mad. They're so mad about ninth grade, and they just take it out on all of us all these years.
With a nice mathematical model.
The math is like, you're not important. Math says you suck.
Yeah, I think it's they're in a tough position, right? 538 is this widely known website that does a lot of sports and political statistical analysis.
Right.
Right. Oftentimes they start off with a...
Right in our wheelhouse.
Right. Oftentimes they'll start off with like a concern trolley type of take and then either refute or substantiate it with statistical models. Right. So if I remember correctly, at different points during the 2016 election or the run up to it, Hillary Clinton was maybe, you know, a 90% chance going to be, you know, elected and whatnot, and wasn't elected on the thinnest of margins and based on like bullshit, constitutional structures, electoral college. But nonetheless, so many people, just the way our minds work, yeah. You look at the odds of something, especially like these are not dice rolls, right? These are when personal actions are whittled down into like just statistical models,
especially if they stats come from surveying and things where people lie.
Right,
and...
exactly. So that understanding, I believe, just gets lost upon the normal person. So when everybody, at least the people that weren't rooting for Trump, see those numbers, I think that allow for us to kind of take solace in that, take our foot off the gas, not to really treat it seriously, because everybody was basically like, oh yeah, she's gonna win anyway, so why do we even care about how ridiculous this whole, you know, election was? So that was probably the worst take, right? To just put it out there
and to downplay everything, and just to use the idea of using statistics as like a safe blanket for anything. It's like, oh, it's fine. It's like like the fucking independence thing. We see the numbers. It's what's happening. Whoa! It's just like, yo, like it's right in front of you.
Right.
Acknowledge it.
And we can't, as I said, I can't totally blame them. But I mean, at the end of the day, especially once whatever the poll or the action is executed, it's like, well, were you right or were you weren't or were you wrong?
And I mean, and if you really think about it, them to disrespect Carmelo Anthony like that.
Oh yeah, see that
disrespect.
Good. Also, Fast and Furious slight shift. They come up with a lot of different statistical models and put acronyms behind them, named after usually after players that are usually based on advanced metrics, inefficient bound on their relative sport.
So, yeah.
Famous one that was his Carmelo model that Brandon has been on a vigilante rage against.
Disrespect
since it's
Carmelo Anthony. The God.
It was player of the week.
Player of the week.
I don't know, maybe a month ago. He was out of the league.
And he's back. And that was all because of nerd outrage. Daryl Morey, all these people just
quite possibly.
Like, because they think they know better. They don't know how to do, but they know how to critique. Because
they could point at statistics to substantiate. It can definitely be like putting the cart before the horse. You know, like a lot of these things, they put... I'm kind of reading myself, but they oftentimes put as their job or whatever the orientation of the website is to putting statistical models on human action. And the main thing, humans are unpredictable. So, right. You know, when it's proven out wrong and correctly, it just makes it look even worse compared to, you know, probably the majority of the time when they're correct about their polls.
Two notes, two asides. One, 2012 Lakers, it wasn't fun. SI was
SI
not
covered.
Fun.
That was a strong one, too. Strong one with Nash, Kobe. Who else was on?
Dwight, but Dwight's back. Howard. He's back though.
Pre no braids. Dwight. Who else was on the cover? Powell.
No, I think it was just Dwight and Nash because they were new and they're like, yeah,
it's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be yeah.
Yeah. Then Nash ripped his back in half. You know, like
as did Dwight
after that. For the seventh time.
And one last note too about takes. Trump never became presidential, y'all. Dave Chappelle, Van Jones.
Van Jones.
Give him a chance. All that. He was who he was. We all knew that. And yeah. Make your takes better.
Pretty. Well, it's tough, man, because hindsight is 2020. And a lot of these people, these public facing people, are like their whole livelihood is based on these fucking takes. So that's why I don't know about you. You take a different tack, but yeah. I tried to be a little bit more mild source because I don't want to look too bad in takes.
Yeah. I go out just for like the, it balances out. So I'd be right half of the time. Mm-hmm. When I'm wrong, I can always come back on that. Like, you shouldn't listen to me.
Right. Between that and you play that ground well compared to some of these guys who feign an air of seriousness. And then when you look bad, it just looks even worse.
Especially when you're self-righteous about it.
Yeah, self-righteous about it. Compared to like, you know, your Stephen A. Smith or someone like that who's just playing up that role. Like, it's completely taken on the both babyface and heel sometimes.
And before we move on to some predictive models, right, mm-hmm. about the future, greatest actor of our time, Stephen A. Smith. Must be known.
Move over Meryl Streep.
Get out of here, Meryl.
Day-Lewis. Nah. Stephen A., man. Legend.
Can we look into the future now? Can we finally step into 2020, where we're going to be now?
Yeah.
What's going to happen? DJ, there's a lot of major themes and motifs we talk about in this podcast. What do you see in 2020? What are some headlines? What can you expect from the great battle? The great, I don't know. Is it a space battle? Is it a tech? I don't know. But I see swords. I see like clink, ding, clink, all that.
Lightsabers?
I think that's an appropriate weapon.
Rise of Skywalker. Coming soon.
Yeah. Streaming Wars 2020. Mm-hmm. What do you predict, good sir? What is on your a la carte menu of programming options?
I think eventually all of the big wigs are going to come into a room and just agree to bundle the shit up. I'm like, you know what, guys? It's time. It's time. We'll just charge everybody $50 and take a stream whenever.
So we're going to just be cable again?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe as early as next year. We'll see.
I completely and utterly disagree.
Yeah.
I think that's not how, this is the beginning of media capitalism in a way that is reminiscent of the early days of media in the 40s and 50s.
Oh, the early days.
When radio and TV and media, all that was like, yo, who got the most bread can own it all. And that actually had to be broken up. But of course, deregulation, FCC is like, yeah, y'all can do it again. And now it's going through media conglomerate with the actual provider of like the cable internet. Or internet.
Yeah.
So,
in the studios.
That's creating a different space where they can all survive if they survive in a different manner. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what's going to happen. And some of these places will be relegated to the G League of streaming. As I looked at my TV the other night, and you realize how many bullshit apps are on there.
Yeah.
And it's like, damn, Crackle's still alive. You can watch Hancock on there, and you can watch Aliens.
That's a lot of variety right there.
And you can watch it for free. It's free.
Damn. I had to catch a Hancock on that. Finally finished watching it.
His ass.
Yeah, I know.
but that's like, for me, you're going to have the top tier of Netflix. You're going to have Amazon. Mm-hmm. You're going to have Disney Plus and HBO Max. That's going to exist at the top. Netflix will secede at its top level because they're just pushing out through money. And they are based upon subscriptions, and they are not vertically integrated. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to get like HBO and Amazon, which are these completely other beasts, and Disney is primarily a content king, and they have a back library. Apple Plus, that shit is just gonna be a throw-in to whatever Apple products. No one's gonna care about it.
In the background.
And Peacock is gonna be right next to Crackle, just hanging out. Like, you want to watch The Office? It's just on all the time. They can do the Pluto model. It's gonna be free.
Is it free?
It's just on. It's just on.
I don't mind that. That's just like just like an existing broadcast channel.
Because why would I bundle it if I'm HBO Max? I'm like, yo, I own the internet.
So what you just did is kind of just said the status quo will continue. I didn't really see like what your projection was. Basically, like the stronger ones.
Well, because some of them haven't come out yet, and I do see Netflix falling back just because their model is just based upon one thing, and they don't have anything else.
They'll fall back just because of the amount of large scale competition that they have, so their amount of market share will inevitably at least decrease in its growth. over time, but I do know that they've given a hard push into increasing their subscriptions and exposure in other markets, you know, internationally.
Yeah.
They're still ahead of a lot of the other streaming services there.
It is November 9th, 2020, DJ.
Oh, shit.
A hand picks up a phone, preferably a cell phone, to make a phone call to congratulate our newest president-elect, who answers the phone on the other side.
Damn, do I have to answer this?
You do. This. You do. Don't put it back on me, DJ. Go out there.
Oh, man. Yo, who's that? Bob Barker? He does Price is Right, right?
He does Price is Right. He's with the animals and shit. Spay and Neuter, ASP, ACA.
I don't know about that one. I watched, who's that? Happy Gilmore the other day.
The goat is coming back, by the way. He's coming back.
Who, Adam Sandler?
He's the goat.
Yeah, for sure.
He's the goat.
Nah, because Bob Barker does the come on down thing, right?
Come on down? Who's coming on down, though?
All right. We're just projecting his wishful thinking. I don't like speaking these things.
Come on, man. You have to. You have to or it won't happen.
All right, Joe Biden, come on down.
Damn.
Take your time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, come on.
Okay.
White people, let's do it. Let's do it.
Let's just like shake hands with whites.
Come on.
We don't want them, but.
Come on.
Uncle Joe, come down.
Uncle Joe.
Take the teeth out.
Take the take the aviators off.
You know, maybe he'll go back to being cool as shit after he wins. I was just fucking with y'all to get in here. I could be cool again. I'm bringing Obama back. We're going to hang out and shit.
I'm still fucking with Biden. I mean, not his politics as much, but I mean, in terms of being a candidate, but he's fine. He's fine to me. It's a collective shrug.
Okay.
Get the whites.
All right.
Him and Vice President Kamala Harris. Let's do it.
Oh, wow. That actually, yeah, you did it. You're right. Mm-hmm. Media, DJ. What's going to be the biggest culture?
The biggest culture?
The cultural moment in terms of content. What content were you going to expect? Film, show.
What's popping with like snuff?
Snuff content? We're going to watch somebody get murked and shit. Yeah, it's going to be murked videos. Trump any comments and Trump watches shit. I love it.
It's like, oh shit.
And he's in a new classic. Clap 24.
Yeah, just
24 hours people getting clapped.
Yeah, just gonna continue like deregulate cable television and shit. They'll just be able to just
clapped.
That's a new show on what's that, the cop channel? Don't they have a cop channel?
Didn't they change CNN to like, not TNN to like the like Stars and Stripes Network or some wild shit like that?
Shout out to Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah, you know?
All right, well mine was that Bad Boys 3 will make Sweet. Upwards of $600 million. The Will Smith Assance is coming back. He's been washed for like 6 years.
Sweep the Oscars?
Yeah.
He got some digitized movies. You seen this shit where he look?
Spies in disguise?
He's a parrot.
It was like, why?
Money?
He was like, you know, I'm just trying to help the kids. You know, he's one of those people that's in a bubble. He's like, yo, somebody needs to be like, listen, dog, stop it.
I be telling you, sometimes niggas just need to get slapped by their like homeboys one good time just to like... I can't be mad at his
Jazzy
choices,
Jeff
but
goes
he can
catch
do better choices.
He can catch him at brunch and shit and slap the shit out of him. Oh! It's like, what? It's like, stop it.
You know, catching on Instagram Live on accident. You know, he's like recording everything.
Yeah, you just phone snatch by Jay-Z and shit. You saw that?
Yeah, I did, actually. That
600 million. Oscar! Bad Boys 3.
Yeah. Damn, who's the lead?
Who's the lead?
Yeah.
Will Smith? What do you mean?
Nah, fuck that. Come on. Marcus Barnett.
Marcus and...
Mike Lowry.
All right.
Oh, both? Oh, shit, mate. First double best
Of course.
Actor.
Of course, dog. Yeah, equal coming, parts.
Coming soon.
And Joey Pants as a beleaguered chief.
Yeah. He's still Joey Pants.
I don't want to belabor this because we got a lot to talk about.
Keep it pushing.
Because we
on professional time.
You didn't like predicting in the future, but can you at least give me the joy of our NBA champion?
Okay, I'm going with my I would be most joyful if the Houston Rockets win the championship.
Wow. Wow. But I don't like that this would validate nerds, so I'm kind of out on that. I wanted it in 2018. 2018, I wanted it.
Exactly. So
last year, I would have been okay with it.
We're still hurting from this.
But Russ, is that what it is? Because I'm a Russ apologist.
Okay.
Because I need more people to get slapped.
And
so
an important
he
injury.
That.
Yeah, an important injury happens late in the season, mm-hmm. which opens up, which cracks the door even more open for the Rockets to win. Harden goes crazy a couple games in the playoffs, wins them a few games. Westbrook does Westbrook things. He loses them a game and a half in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's definitely going to happen.
But he has an 80-point triple-double.
Yeah, some crazy fucking game. And, yeah, they win. They play – who are they going to play in the East? They play Philly in the East, but Philly can't score enough points. And that'll be it.
They can't beat the Bucks or Philly, so no.
They could beat Philly. I don't know if they could beat the Bucks.
Neither one of them. And I don't like Philly at all, but Houston's ass. Like, as a team. Like the
as a team?
It's two players, and everybody else on that team is marginal and won't rise to the occasion.
P.J. Tucker? No. Eric Gordon?
Exactly. P.J. Tucker has to do everything on that team. I mean, it's not viable.
He might be the first player to die on the court.
Just like when Melo passed out and shit, he fell out and people were playing around him like, oh, P.J. Tucker's been down for six possessions.
Because he does a lot. He guards the biggest man, smallest man. Shout out to P.J. Tucker.
So this is my last 2020 prediction. All right.
What was your finals pick, though?
Giannis, son.
And what was your...
Giannis, the guy.
Okay, who is he playing?
Well, actually, the Lakers. The Lakers are going to win. Everything is true and like stays together. Like, okay. No one gets hurt. Anthony Davis stays healthy.
Anthony Davis is going to get like a bad hangnail or some shit.
I'd be mad his beard hurt.
That's what I'm saying. So that's the storyline I was building.
Yeah.
What about the presidential one? We can be quick on that.
And oh, for me. I didn't say that either.
Yeah.
Oh, Big Liz, dog. Regulate. I need to drop that. A Regulate remix about Big E. Warren.
You bring it back.
Warren E.
Oh, we bring it back. Warren G. Damn, RP Nate Dogg.
It was a cold black night. Trump was talking shit. Elizabeth Warren came out this bitch. She was talking in the new and she slapped. She coming, dog. Big Liz.
Oh, man. It's a narrow.
I don't care. I know. She lied. She's not Native American. It's fine.
I don't care about that.
Trump, I'm getting ahead of it. For Trump.
All the like dumb, super dumb.
That shit is stupid. Lines are gonna come. I don't care. Good. She's shrewd.
Oh, you saw the new one? Bernie is an anti-Semite? This nigga's Jewish.
You announced. He won't go back to Israel.
Yeah. All right.
Last one because I don't really know which one. Who is going to be our biggest enemy of 2020? We got, of course, old standard China.
China.
You got Big Saudi. That's what I'm starting to call him now. big Saudi. Russia, or of course, North Korea. Who's hot?
Who's the biggest one?
Who's going to be popping? Who's the most popping? Like hot rankings. You know, iTunes is hot versus most pop downloaded.
I don't mind the decoupling from China.
Okay.
I think... I would actually be in support of that. Exactly.
Like, you know, that's like, our one Republicans, Democrats. Fuck
we could
China,
get we
dog.
Could get on that. That's the next play.
I'm tired of the IP grift. I'm tired of my shit falling apart from over there. I'm tired of people's organs getting harvested. Shit is, come on.
Shit is wild.
All right.
I'm tired of all of our movies having to fucking pander to these niggas.
Come on, man.
All this shit. So
the greatest pilots come to help us. And he's just Chinese and shit, no reason. Vow ship. Greatest number one pilot. Universe.
Exactly. So, yeah, we get behind that. I think that's the play. That's a strong play. Big Lizzy, Biden not going to do that shit. Cause
Big Liz, though, she might.
She might like come out with like the big fuck China banner or something. We lit. You know, her and Bernie, we could do that. So, yeah, maybe we'll get into a nice, like, super small, like, narrow proxy war.
Yeah.
I don't know what they would be pushing, though. I don't know how we would go about that. Cause it's not like... the ridiculous, in retrospect, you know, we fought the Vietnam War over an idea.
let's not get into it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, we don't really have these international ideological struggles at this point. So I don't know if a proxy war will really pop off like that. But definitely, you know, trade wars or ripping up trade
spies
deals.
Spies and shit, killing people. Yeah, I got it.
Spies. Yeah, like all the international imports, like we could
China. Yeah. Okay, I'm pro Big Saudi. Just off the flex. No, it's a joke. But I feel like that's gonna be our biggest. You're talking about ideological because it's gonna take along with China is obviously the biggest sort of like we are clearly jeopardizing our moral standing to fuck with them. Yeah. But Saudi is way more flagrant about like that. It's like, listen, at least China, we have the lie of like economic engine. Saudi is just like, yo, like we out here
fucking over women, we enslaving people to build buildings and shit, but we cool, we got oil bread, and you know, we can have fights, we have fights, Joshua Ruiz, and women can't come to the fight,
yeah.
Like, this whole, we bringing WWE over here, yeah. But the whip, like, it's completely absurd and in bad taste, and I think that's gonna have to come into play at some point, but I don't know, it's hilarious to me.
The only reason, I completely agree with that narrative. The relative issue is they would never really become an adversary. They just don't have the fucking juice.
Yeah.
If you read or follow anything really happening like Saudi Arabia, they have a bunch of international imports.
And then oil's falling off too.
Oil is on a slow relative wane. But that aside, the people there are like incompetent because they just never really had to do shit or build up like the economy or industry. Yeah. So a lot of people that come there are like your McKinsey's or what have you, like the people that kind of just know how to do shit. They're not really from there.
Right.
So if the U.S. pulls back on them, they like, what are they going to do? Like, y'all using American fighter jets. Like, we just like press a button. Make them explode. Slay.
In memoriam, DJ. In memoriam, are you ready? It's been a long decade. We must pay homage to our website graveyard. There's been a lot of websites we used to frequent that now are no longer relevant, important, waned in importance, or are otherwise, as we like to say, or don't like to say, but I will say it now, canceled. Let's pour one out for those murdered and slain and who died natural deaths. Gawker, all the Gawker Media products, including Deadspin, Grantland, Bill Simmons' last thing he did that I approved of, Karma Loop, Tumblr, for all the weirdos. Facebook, even though it thrives among
the olds.
Oh, various rap blogs, BuzzFeed and their aggregated clickbait bullshit, and their brief flirtation with being news before no one cared anymore. Premium porn, it's all free, or you can support the gig economy via OnlyFans. And The Onion. Satire is no longer funny. It's reality is funnier.
You know, The Onion, they continually, every time there's a mass shooting, they re-up the same story. You know,
they just play the shit over again.
Yeah, literally. So, yeah, I mean, I don't even want to put them in the graveyard, but I get your point on that one. The rest of them, they're pretty on point. You know, Facebook is not lit anymore. What they should do is come out with a new version and just call it something else.
Oh, you mean Instagram?
Yeah. I mean,
international version, WhatsApp.
My bad shit.
We locked up, dog.
So we got this shit figured out.
Got clamps on us and shit.
I'm not full on any court of that shit, so.
You're not on WhatsApp?
Nah.
Come on.
I get a couple random WhatsApps.
So when you leave the country, you're not on a website. And you be flexing. You be flexing leaving the country.
Nah, I try to stick to the iMessage.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Yeah, you know.
Even though Android is like 80% of the world. But okay. All right. Okay. That's fine.
What else we have? What is another chat protocol? Skype. Oh, yeah. We on there.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. That kind of RIP Skype.
Yeah. Good. WhatsApp is taking down whole democracies and shit at this point. You know, right?
So I guess it's good. That's all right.
It's like three chats in India and Brazil and just all three of them just
all circulating
anarchists and shitty memes. Making things bad.
Prayers up to all those sites.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's been tough. Actually, question, like, pod on off pod, doesn't matter. Where do you go to for sports anymore? I was super dependent on Deadspin, for my sports content.
Primarily Reddit, because it aggregates everything before even Reddit kind of destroyed journalism because everyone just goes from there and steals things.
Yeah.
And the NBA Reddit is just everything. It's all there. And that's the only sport I care about. Okay. So other sports, shout out to Kaepernick. Don't matter anymore in their day-to-day, even though black quarterbacks bringing it back.
Yeah, that's a nice development. Hopefully that continues into the 2020s. Agreed on that. But yeah, it's definitely been a gap in my normal internet browsings because I don't go to Deadspin anymore because the shit is dead, similar to when I would go for my normal.
Grantland as well.
Was that Grantland? Yeah, but then that was resurrected kind of as The Ringer, which is like this crazy content factory as well. I mean, they're a little smarter with the takes, but they come up with so much content at the time, you kind of just get lost with their shit. Grantland was a little, I don't know, like its brows were a little higher. So it's tough, man. Rap blogs, that shit evaporated after the emergence of streaming and after Was my nigga Kim.com? What was he doing?
Kim.
With Mega Upload?
Mega Upload. Forgot about Kim.com. Yeah. Shout out to him. Shout out to him.
Yeah, like after all that was nixed, there wasn't really as much of a need for, you know, your hot new hip hops or Dat Piff. All right. Two Dope Boys.
I mean, I basically more or less stopped listening to music, so I was like, y'all tell me what's hot.
And then, yeah, I guess a lot
and
of
adulthood killed that shit.
Stop fucking music. That and podcasts. But somehow the music industry on the whole is got back to massive financial profits. So props to them. But it's no longer that type of gatekeeper of even just using them as kind of like the conduit for new music. Is now just relegated to these streaming services, and they need way less people to sustain those.
Facts. All right. So can we break down what we've seen, the shifts? We're going into 2020 versus 2010, the 2010s and 2000s. What's the overall shift you feel like has changed? What do we expect? I feel like the 2000s were a period of hope for technology. And I think about that time period and how much I didn't have versus now. Mm-hmm. And I look back on stupid shit like my email address and I'm like, oh, what was I talking about? Or what is in here? And things like the idea of Skype and video call and all these things and how cell phones weren't just like a thing in my life. And now we've entered an era where it's just like terror of all these technologies and what it caused us. And for the future, to the 2020s, I feel like we're going to have chips in our head or just like, I'm not, the Zion generation, like what do we see from them? Expectations, meditations on that.
If we're just projecting, right?
Yeah.
In all relative seriousness, yet, jovial, conversationally, right? So, okay, I think there's going to be some type, like a number of studies are going to be widespread showing that widespread phone use is bad for everybody.
I feel like it already exists.
Yeah, but I think there will be a larger federal push behind it.
Okay, one quick thing. Do you believe in this? And I feel it. And I think it's going to be a scientific study. It may already exist. Nerds, please help me.
Now you need the nerds.
No. Yeah, I do because I'm selfish and anyone helps me.
Okay.
Can we feel the incoming messages and things like that?
Can we feel?
Like via interacting with us too much? Sometimes I feel like, you ever be like, oh, I got a message and you look and you have one?
Yeah, like ghost vibrations?
Yeah, like that's real, right? Not vibrations, but just even like, did I get a message? You don't even... Just like,
and then you have one, or it's just a ghost.
You do. I think it's like waves and interacting.
Oh, and it just like went through your brain before it got to your phone.
Yeah.
No, that sounds kind of freaky. I don't know.
I feel like it's plausible though.
I mean, sure, it's plausible. Maybe you got like one of those early chips that you don't want.
Damn shit.
Yeah, Amazon got you.
All right, I interrupted you. Proceed.
I don't even know what the fuck I was saying at this
point. What do we expect from this shift and change over these decades?
So I think there will be more just implicit moderation to, or at least this is me wishfully thinking, more relative moderation to everyone's usage of all of these tech platforms and services. Although that is extremely wishful thinking because there's now an extremely large, like, individualistic libertarian streak to everything. So it's like, oh yeah, you can go and do whatever you want, listen to whatever you want.
You
want to
be a sex robot? Be one.
Yeah, and you know, that's cool, but it's definitely led to a lot of relative breakdown in the communication.
Do you think there'll be a pastoralism where it's just like everyone, like I live in the woods. I know there's technology, but the woods is what matters to me. Like that'll be hot.
Are you thinking like the Amish population would just like skyrocket?
People just like, I don't participate. I know it exists, but not me.
I don't know, but I do know dirt. The kids. We talked about this before, but I think the like actual like Zoomers, Gen Z, like they're fucked.
They just have no perspective on this shit.
Yeah, they just,
we are the last.
Yeah, they're just the
free generation.
They're just like completely empty vessels.
Remembering the before time, before the internet, before the chips alas. In your head.
Right, because because everything seems like fleeting yet sudden. Right, there's always just the daily deluge of whatever latest sensational, controversial, awe-inspiring thing. So at least the collective attention being put on things is so fast, so fleeting. CNN, everything is breaking news now, you know? So it just leads to us having like a bunch of everything, but not really.
But nothing.
But nothing. Yeah, there's a, damn, I got to think of like the fucking philosopher. But it was in like Brave New World, right? Where everybody has access to all this information and technology, but because of that, you're just kind of washed over with all of it. And yeah. You're just led into like this relative malaise. I don't know what that speaks to.
I mean, that's pretty apt.
yeah, no, for sure. So I don't know what that leads to for our democracy or in our country as a whole. It could lead in either direction without being like too fucking erudite about it. This populism shit, like, these people have their go at it, right? Your Trumps or, Boris Johnson winning, or like the Labour Party winning in UK and whatnot. It's gonna have like specific consequences, and if they're not able to deliver on all that shit, I don't know. The culture war can get you very far.
Uprising.
So, I don't know how long the culture war can go. It can go for pretty long. But eventually, I don't know. If you do see shifts from like a Warren or what have you for just a bit more of a social safety net, then that would be Gucci. But it seems just relatively tenuous to even think about how tomorrow is going to turn out because of just how volatile everything just appears to be, at least just on a societal level. I think individually, like, we're all pretty good. Everybody has a cool iPhone. They can do whatever they want
here.
But when you apply that to everybody else, it leaves us all reaching and not reaching for the same thing.
So it's 2030. Where are you, my good friend?
Where am I?
Yeah, 2030.
I'm retired.
I love it.
That's wishful thinking.
I plan to be in where I think will be one of the come up countries. Like, I'm trying to like dip out and be like,
no, I don't leave, man.
I mean, they're gonna be somewhere in the Caribbean, like grifting off of their like lax citizenship laws.
Yeah.
Somewhere like floundering in the Western world where I can take advantage of all their infrastructure, but their economy's floundering, like Greece or Portugal or some shit, or the hot end of the world spot. 2030. We go be there, dog. New Zealand bunker.
Elon Musk and all of that.
We go be chilling this shit down there.
Oh, man. Nah, man.
Or maybe Papua New Guinea. People ain't. That's the new shit. Ooh. That's the new shit. Yeah.
Sexy name, too. Nah, actually, I got a different one. Different. Reality, not even alternate. Me and you were still going to be in some type of planning room working on like the fourth sequel to this Reconstruction drama.
Where we, like, about remixed 10 it. Years ago?
Oh, it was about like the Obama era? No, yeah. that's the third one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's Reconstruct 3. Reconstruct 4 is the future.
Shit.
I don't know, 2050 where everybody's beige.
Oh, shit.
And it's just still like, somehow
we all speak in Mandarin or shit.
We speak in Mandarin, and somehow like the four white people left, they still have like all the political power and they live in Wyoming. It's like all Dick Cheney's children.
I love it. Dark.
It's coming soon.
Who's our most famous person born after 2010? Like, somebody's gonna be like 20 years old and like the most popular person in the world.
Is it not like one of these fucking royal babies or Blue Ivy?
When Blue Ivy born? Yeah, Nori, one of them motherfuckers.
Oh, man, not Nori. Yeah,
I hope not.
That's the future that we'll get, is like just the like coming dominance of the Kardashians or some like just celebrity culture as
political,
a whole.
Political, just cultural dynasty.
Yeah, because everything is just oriented towards that, you know, with phones and social media anyway, towards the most outstanding individuals among us. So you apply that to politics, there's going to be people like that, but. No telling, but to answer your question, I'll go with, I think, what's her name? Blue Ivy. She might become like an artist or some shit, but her art is like low-key shitty, but people are going to fuck with it.
So she's going to follow the Smith children path.
Yeah.
AOC will be my president, and the richest person in the world will be Jay-Z. Lies.
Sure.
Can we get into your GOAT Rushmore? All the GOATs.
GOAT Rushmore.
Of the 2010s.
All the GOATs. Can we just go like, let's just ping them off one another.
Okay.
All right. First one, let me pull up my little duck.
You got it. You ready? These are the GOATs. All right, who's the GOATs?
He actually started off the decade with what is purportedly the best or most important or most indicative movie about him.
Yes.
Of the decade as well. That movie being The Social Network.
Mm-hmm.
Directed by, who's that? You know, what's his name?
The GOAT, David Fincher.
David Fincher, written by Aaron Sorkin.
Yes.
And that movie's about Mark Zuckerberg, the, I don't know, overlord of Facebook, which is like the biggest amalgamation of people in the world, bigger than religion.
Can we let's drop all the names first?
Yeah,
we,
sure.
Time is ticking.
So that was when I gave him a little bio. There you go.
We'll talk about him in a second.
It's on you.
The Zuck. This is we're gonna go back and forth. You wanna go back and forth? You wanna just name all yours?
Yeah. Name and go.
Okay. Julian Assange.
Julian Assange.
He's on my Mount Rushmore.
Contentious.
Vladimir Putin.
Are we supposed to go back to back? No. Now it's
go
my
ahead.
Turn.
Go ahead.
All right. You got V Putin and Julian Assange. I see where you're going. Okay. Misinformation. I stole this one. We workshopped a little earlier, but Kylie Jenner has completely used the social media sphere and the sense of human longing and vanity imbued in all of us.
To become a billionaire somehow.
To become a purported billionaire of lip kits of her augmented lips.
Kanye West, the most infamous musician of the decade who made a fire album, made a video, made an album with Jay-Z, fought Jay-Z, yelled on stage, started fucking with Trump, mentally ill, and is now moving into an evil megachurch. Salute to him.
And has been a style icon, one of the largest, biggest style icons.
Easy.
Probably become a billionaire off
Yeezy
sneakers.
Jumped over the jump, man.
Very close, man. I have to admit it. I thought about it the other day. But Yeezys are very fucking popular, son. Just as popular as Jordans used to be, or are, to a certain demo. Okay, on me. You were going Kevin Feige, but I'm going even bigger. Your boy Bob Iger.
Yes.
He's considering running for president.
Okay.
A real businessman running.
Big Bob.
Big Bob, the chairman of Disney. Disney has basically merged everything. Over the past decade. And that includes the preeminence of Marvel and all their films, of Star Wars and the reemergence of that, of just Disney being big anyway, the streaming service that's come out and has still been extremely successful and has done it while also not having the public profile of being a scumbag, which is...
Even though they are. Well, not him personally.
Maybe, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, we don't really know because that's not how he played himself and that's what he's not purported to be. So, I mean, got to give the man nothing but props. He seems to do it pretty well.
Vlad Putin, who I said earlier, who stole our election and has been big, stole our election, stole Crimea, and has big body in.
Just been stealing.
Just out here, just.
House and shit.
Just house and shit for the past 10 years. Still president of Russia. Been 18, 19, 20 years. Just cooking. And I mean, I got to respect the hustle. Purportedly the richest man in the world. For whatever he supposedly had
and everything, yeah.
Just so you know, big shouts to Vlad.
Big shouts to Vlad. Oh man, who else did you have over here?
Well, I saw that you put Kylie on. I didn't realize that, so yeah. I'll go with our other two people. Then maybe you can pick from one of them.
Oh, I have one. Okay.
Okay.
Damn. What are some other things that we talk about?
What do you mean?
Like just give me a. Don't worry about it. I'm not saying fucking Bill Cosby. I don't know.
he's one of the goats of the decade. DJ, Me Too was super important. And my list of my goat Rushmore is mostly of infamy.
Can you put like half his face and half of like Harvey Weinstein?
His two faces shit? Like,
and maybe, I don't know, like a cloud of what's his name? Jeff Epstein in the back? He might not be dead.
he's in the clouds like Mufasa and shit.
This like,
one side, does he do the two face? He's flipping a pill and shit. And one side, I'm Harvey. It's funny, Me Too, all right? The idea of Me Too, important, critical, but the scumbags behind it and that culture behind it is so engraved and then it needed to be talked about. The idea of there's a whole porn category of casting couch shows you how fucked up the Me Too era, especially media is. Yeah. This is a real thing.
It's just bad.
So Bill Cosby, and I had to make our list a little more racially diverse, so I'd include Bill over Harvey Weinstein. And he began the decade by meeting the GOAT, me, on my graduation.
Oh yeah, I forgot. He dabbed you up and everything.
He dabbed me
right?
up on my and then I was like,
slipped a pill in your pocket, told him use that for later.
I had to deal with the fact that this man's a rapist for like the whole decade. And the whole Hotep shit of him like, he was gonna buy NBC and then 50 bringing it back in the past week or so, talk about y'all making documentaries about Russell Simmons and but Harvey Weinstein getting off and all this foolishness. Me Too was one of the biggest cultural movements of the decade, and he was the primary villain of the shit.
Definitely one of the catalysts of it, for sure. All right. Is there any way we can end it off? Wait, who else can we end it off? I mean, like Obama and Trump.
I said Tekashi, dog.
You said Tekashi 6ix9ine? I was going to say Lil Nas X.
I think the idea of them being emblematic of the music culture and how it is between SoundCloud and the sort of make it do it yourself and
virality
in a positive and negative manner. I think that's a good way to put it. I want to briefly go through my favorite nouns, adjectives, and verbs of the decade. Binging. Important verb. Streaming. Ubering.
Yeah, catch an Uber. That's a thing. Fake news.
I'm going to Uber. Fake news is a great noun.
Fake news.
Problematic as an adjective.
Problematic.
Everything's problematic. You're problematizing.
Canceled.
Canceled. That's a good one, too. Mm-hmm. And as a noun, pronouns. All the different pronouns, I think, is important. It's a shift, man. It's a shift.
How about lit?
Lit. That's a good one.
It's a good one.
It's been on fire. Decade's been on fire, dog. It's great podding, man.
It's been lit.
In the future. We soared into the future on the pod.
Like fucking Hancock.
The worst movie of the 2010s. 2020s.
When did Catwoman come out?
Damn, dog. It's been a great podcast, man. Happy holidays, y'all.
I hope so.
Happy New Year, y'all.
We professional.
Any notes to take us out on for y'all, for the listeners, for the watchers?
Nah, man, just let's all spend the holiday season around the people that you love and care for the most, because that's the one thing that matters. And I'll leave it at that. See you next year.
See y'all next year, man. Keep listening. You know we're all over the internet and various places you get your content. And go to Send the Link Pod, sendthelinkpodcast.com. You get the link, sign up for the link. You can do that, get in your inbox. And beware white evil. Keep listening. Send the
link. He's going to get us canceled somehow. I don't know.
Okay, by whom?
The whites.
By, what's that lady? Dana Loesch.
Dana Loesch?
Loesch.
Who's that?
The NRA.
From NRA? No, I don't want no smoke with fucking NRA.